This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. The culture and music of Mali are on display right now on the National Mall here in Washington, D.C. Dancers, artists, and musicians from the West African country are taking part in the Smithsonian's annual Folklife Festival. For the more adventurous, there is another gathering that brings Malians and Westerners together. It's held every year in the Saharan Desert outside Timbuktu. Banning Air went to this year's festival and sent this report.
For nearly 5 hours, our four-wheel drive truck sprinted and stalled across the desert beyond Timbuktu, seemingly into a void. After that, the festival site presented a surreal tableau, rolling dunes of fine white sand marked by the occasional gnarled thorn tree, convoys of blue-turbaned riders arriving by camel after days or even weeks of travel, and among them, road-worn SUVs bearing less hardy travelers. The low peaks of traditional Tuareg tents interspersed square structures erected by the Europeans, toilets, showers, and a large dining tent. At the center, impossibly, a massive soundstage towered above everything with all the lighting and sound gear you'd find at a music festival anywhere. I can only imagine how this scene must have looked to some 2,000 Tuareg and Sahrawi, people who live here in the desert. About 200 Europeans and Americans had bought a festival package from a local tour company, but most of the Tuareg had come from remote corners of northern Mali or from neighboring Niger and Mauritania. For 3 days, people from all over the world, but especially these West African countries, gathered around that stage, an arc of camels serving as bleachers in the back. As a sliver moon hovered and fires burned across the dunes, music played through the night. This group, Tidaut from Niger, typified the music at the festival. Ambient guitars, chant melodies, and trancey percussion rhythms. You might call it Tuareg folk rock, though I prefer the MC's description, beautiful voices and electric guitars.
C'est un festival qui a été organisé.
That's Malian guitar legend Ali Farka Touré, the grand old man of this year's festival. Touré says the festival in the desert was designed to please people like the Tuareg, who have no experience with Western-style music festivals, or even concerts. That may be, but these folks sure knew what to do. In the heat of the day, you could just wander from tent to tent, dropping in on impromptu concerts and jam sessions. That's Hira Arbi, the Nightingale of the North, performing in her tent.
Ce festival vraiment je participe en tant que une artiste native de Timbuktu.
Arbi says she took part in this festival as a proud resident of Mali's north. The fact is, the music of that region has been largely neglected as musicians from the country's southern capital, Bamako, have launched international careers in recent years. Although Hira Arbi is one of the most beloved singers in the Timbuktu region, she has no international releases and doesn't even own a guitar or an amplifier for her band. The festival in the desert wasn't just about music. There were also cultural and political dimensions, especially important for the Tuareg. After severe drought all but destroyed their nomadic lifestyle in the 1970s and 80s, the Tuareg took up arms against Mali's military regime. A decade ago, this festival site was a hot war zone. Indeed, a number of these performers were actual combatants in that rebellion. Now, in the era of Malian democracy, the Timbuktu region is an inspiring example of how governments can solve problems in Africa. The festival in the desert was organized by the French band Lojo and a team of volunteers they recruited. One of those, Andy Morgan, says that when it began 2 years ago, the festival built upon a Tuareg tradition of seasonal gatherings, rare opportunities for these widely dispersed nomads to meet and socialize.
In this part of the world, the gatherings are called Temakanit. So you could say that this festival in the desert is a kind of super Temakanit, where they're not only meeting with their own people from this part of the Sahara, they're also meeting, very importantly, with other people from other parts of Mali, who, for whom, until very recently, this part of Mali was a no-go area, basically. They just didn't come here. And beyond Mali, it's everyone who's come from all over the rest of Africa and all over the rest of the world.
Perhaps the most interesting foreign visitors were the Navajo rock band Black Fire, all members of the Benali family of Black Mesa, Arizona. The Benalis were invited by their friends in the legendary Tuareg jam band Tinarawin. Late in the festival, they performed traditional Navajo music and dance, but it was their opening night rock performance that really got the crowd going. Blackfire weren't the only rockers on the scene at Essakane. Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin fame is no stranger to North Africa. He was scouting out bluesy desert music in Morocco with Jimmy Page in the early 70s and has been back many times since.
It has none of the conceptions of what music can represent to the Western mind, especially in this incredibly disposable time musically. And so this is my reward for putting up with having some very tight jeans in the 70s.
On the festival's last night, the champions of the current Tuareg guitar music movement, Tinarawin, delivered a mesmerizing set. Though they have just one international release, this band goes back to the Tuareg refugee camps of the 1970s, and having played at all three festivals in the desert, they were favorites with the crowd. Amazingly, most of the musicians at this year's festival in the desert were not paid for their performances. Neither were the sound crew or organizers. This was a labor of love. But when it was over, Tinarawin's leader, Abdallah, wondered aloud whether the event could remain a meaningful gathering for the Tuareg as it becomes ever more like a festival in Europe or America. Whatever happens, the 2003 festival at Essakane was an inspiring moment for the Tuareg people, for Mali, for Africa. For NPR News, I'm Banning Air.